Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680 with Michael Mumbrea. And fans, that's a name that we're going to get to know, part of the San Francisco Giants family. Michael, nice to have you on the show today, and we're going to hear an interesting story.
Thanks, Marty.
Where did you grow up, first of all? I always like to find out the roots of a person that explains where they are today and how they got here. But what about you? Where did you grow up?
Well, Marty, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. Okay. And what's interesting, part of what's maybe interesting about the story here is that I was a fan of the New York Giants at the age of 7 years old, and my childhood hero was Willie Mays.
Okay. Did you ever make it down to the Polo Grounds from Buffalo?
I didn't make it to the Polo Grounds, but I did make it out to Pittsburgh to see the Giants play, and where I got to see my childhood hero.
Boy, nice to have Michael Mumbrea with us. Now, fans, let me tell you who he is. He's a licensed marital and family counselor. He's in charge of the employee assistance program with the San Francisco Giants and has a tremendous background in business and different things, and now has this job, which is something that we didn't see in baseball 50 years ago or 60 years ago. This is something relatively new.
Well, one of the great things about the position with the Giants is that many of the other teams in Major League Baseball have this position. However, for the majority of the teams, it's a contract position where the person holding the role is doing a variety of other things and is only really dedicated part-time to the position. And the advantage of what I do with the Giants is that it's a dedicated full-time position within baseball operations, and it really gives me the opportunity to get to know players across the minor leagues and the major leagues, as well as the staff during the course of the year, because I'm fully dedicated to the position.
Boy, interesting. Of course, as we celebrate every April 15th, we always say Jackie Robinson Day, and it made me think of that with your position, of course, being a licensed marital and family counselor as well, and being part of, obviously, the employee assistance program. Back in 1947, there was nothing like you, and there were revolutions, there were strikes, there were petitions, and the players sort of just went off on their own and with their own backgrounds and had no one to guide them, and we've come a long way.
Well, and the truth of the matter is there are a whole variety of stresses that that our players from the very beginning when they're drafted up through the minor leagues and into the major leagues that players face, and they could be anything from being away from home for the first time, being responsible for their budgets for the first time, and then there are the things that happen in life in terms of losing family members, players and family members going through divorce, traumatic things happening, losing loved ones unexpectedly, being on the road, having to accommodate to very different kinds of schedules, dealing with sleep issues because schedules are changing. These players, you know, they work 7 days a week. There are no weekends. Weekends are when we come out to enjoy watching the ball game. But players are, you know, they're at it 7 days a week for the entire course of the season, for the major leagues 162 games, for the minor leagues almost that many.
Well, I work every weekend, so for me, I work on the weekend. So I know what you mean, believe me. But Michael Mumbrea is with us. And Michael, what sort of contact do you have with the players? Is this something that you initiate, that they initiate? And we'll talk a little bit about how you got into this position.
Well, one of the great things about what I do these days is that in the past, even going back, say, 5, 10, 15 years ago, there was much more of a stigma associated with various kinds of stresses. And so unless something was more of an urgent or emergency situation, players really didn't feel free to reach out, to ask for help, et cetera. And one of the things when I do my presentations to players, for example, during spring training, is one of the things that I try to communicate is that we all have stress. We all have challenges. And we all, at one point or another, another need some support. And what I tell the players is that, in my experience, it's those who reach out for the resources that they need over time who tend actually to be the most successful. So what I try to do is to really normalize the idea of reaching out for the resources that are available when those situations occur. And another thing that we've really tried to do, and really this year for the first time in spring training, is that our sports psychologists and I work very closely together. We now call our team of three the peak performance team. And one of the things that we try to do is meet with all the players to talk about the mental game, to talk about the kinds of stresses that they're going to encounter along the line during the course of their careers, so that it's not such, it's, you know, when players need help, there's much less of a stigma associated with it, and that they realize that we're part of the overall team.
Mm. Boy, interesting story. Now, baseball's that macho game. You know, you knock down my hitter, I'm going to knock you down, and we're going to police this thing on the field. Are players open to this? Are they open to talking? And I realize we live in a different world today where it's not what it was when I grew up or you grew up or 30 years ago. So are they receptive to opening up and discussing things?
Well, everybody's different. So, you know, some players are more open than others. Some players feel a little bit more comfortable to reaching out than others do. But this is one of the reasons we try to get to know players, and being around all the time, being full-time, is so important, because getting to know players casually when there's not an urgent issue that, you know, where they may need some resources, just getting to know them casually, being around, getting to know who they are, letting them know who I am, creates a kind of comfort level so that when things do come up, it's not so hard to reach out.
All right, interesting. Michael Mabrea with us. How did you get into this? Because you come from a business background, and all of a sudden now you're involved with counseling and with players in a high stress profession with a lot of money involved. How'd you get into this?
Well, what occurred for me is that I actually started working in this profession by working actually with kids and teenagers. And subsequent to that, I ended up kind of on the business side of things, but also related to the behavioral health care world. I ended up actually, interestingly, working with some very high-performance executives at Cisco Systems for the 5 years previous to joining the Giants. So I felt like I had a pretty good feel for guys who were really high performers. And high performers, in some sense, create their own stress because they're always raising the bar to to overcome obstacles, to overcome challenges. So there's a level of stress that's sort of natural for professional athletes to have to deal with, and because they're constantly raising the bar for their own performance, you know, there's a certain amount of stress that's just there all the time. So we think as our peak performance team is really here to help our players both in terms of on the field and off the field issues, to help them maintain their level of focus, to maintain their level of confidence that's really necessary to have to really achieve their best both on the field and off the field.
Yeah. Well, interesting. So essentially, I talk to people about this all the time. They always say, well, you're a criminal lawyer, how'd you get into this line of work? And I say, the skills transfer. And it sounds like your skills of what you did at Cisco transferred easily into this. You just have a different clientele.
Right. Yeah, I think that's true. And one of the things that's been just that I've been so appreciative of is is because now we have a team of three, Bob Tewksbury, former major league pitcher and sports psychologist who had been with the Boston Red Sox for a number of years, and Jim Aframo, who had been the sports psychologist at Arizona State and also did private practice with a lot of elite athletes who were involved in the Olympics. The fact that we have each other to bounce ideas off of, to support each other, and also to cover, you know, the scope of responsibility that starts with the guys that we draft, you know, in June of every year, our single-A teams, our team in Arizona, single-A, double-A, up to triple-A in the major leagues, you know, having the team and having the support from the very top of the organization has just been very gratifying. And the fact that from Larry Bear to Bobby and Brian and just the whole organization, the fact that they support the resources and our efforts to the extent that they do, for me, what has been so that has really been so gratifying is that there's a genuine care not only for the ball player but for the people and the families associated with the Giants.
Boy, interesting. Michael Mambrea with us. Boy, interesting to learn this aspect of baseball. You always learn something about baseball and the way it's played today that you didn't know, and I'm learning a lot of, from you today. Do you have a full waiting room? I mean, how busy are you?
Well, it comes and goes, you know, just like life itself. I mean, there are times when there's a lot going on, and, you know, there's always a lot going on in the sense that when I'm not responding to something that's urgent or pressing, there's the opportunity to really be around with players to make sure that I'm reaching out and making contact with folks that either I've been in contact with before. I also travel to all the different minor league teams a few times during the course of the year and stay in touch with our coaches, with our scouts, with our players. So it's definitely a full-time endeavor.
Boy, interesting. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Michael Mambrea just right after this. Hi, back here. Very interesting conversation with Michael Mambrea, who is, of course, the head of the Employee Assistance Program with the Giants and a licensed marital and family counselor. Michael, what's the biggest challenge you have? And again, we talk about players and not wanting to open up the macho game. But now let's say they come in with an issue. What's your biggest challenge getting through to them?
Well, Marty, I think the biggest challenge actually is, and maybe the biggest challenge and what's possibly the most satisfying about what I do is that, you know, there are traumatic things that happen with players and families and staff and scouts, etc. When somebody loses a loved one, or and especially somebody loses a loved one unexpectedly, this is very, very, very difficult. And so, you know, rallying the kind of support that people need, whether it's my being directly involved in helping and staying in contact, including, you know, finding resources in a particular area that really fit and are a good match for a client, those are things that, you know, really stick with you, because when you genuinely care about people and they go through something traumatic, you're going to get to know them really, really well. Yeah. And you're not going to let go of them very easily. You're going to stay in touch and you're going to make sure that they have all the support that they need to adjust and move on. And we've had a number of those situations occur since I've been with the Giants.
Yeah, so you'll refer people out to specific people who may help a specific area.
That's right. And I will never refer somebody out unless I've had personal contact with the person. I know that they're available. I feel that they're a good match. I know that they're qualified. And I always make it a point to check in with whoever I'm making the referral for to make sure that it's a good match, that they're comfortable, and that they're getting what they need.
Boy, Michael Mabrea with us. Michael, I joked with Bob Tewksbury in spring training. I said, well, Bob, I guess you say after 45 minutes, your time is up now. We're going to have to stop. You know, the old psychiatrist joke, and he didn't get it right away, but I'll ask you that.
Yeah, there's no stopping. There's just continuing, and, you know, the beauty of this position is that, you know, you develop relationships. And for me, now that I'm in my fourth year, you know, I have the privilege of getting to know players and staff much, much better. The comfort level is much more there. And it's really, you know, I consider, when I look back on my career and I think about what I'm doing now, I really consider my role in this position as a gift.
So if something happens, you've described different traumas, and we've certainly had one, not mentioning specific cases, but I could say Brandon Crawford, the trauma he went through. Do you wait for the person to come to you, or do you go to them to see how they're doing?
No, I don't. As soon as a situation, as soon as I'm made aware of a situation, you know, my job is to go ahead and reach out and just to see whatever it is that I can do to help.
This is some job you have now. The Giants come and find you. How did you get this? Now, of course, I say the skills transfer. So you've done this on a high level for a long time, and now you're just doing it in baseball, the same skills. But how'd you get hooked up in baseball?
Well, this came about, I don't know, Carl Jung once said that there are no accidents. So I'm going to be a believer in that. I was contacted by a colleague about, I guess it's about 3.5 years ago now, who asked me if I had seen the advertisement for this position. And honestly, I hadn't. And so, you know, at the beginning, honestly, I thought, well, this is probably something that, you know, maybe somebody was already handpicked and, you know, organizations have to advertise for positions when they become open. So I initially didn't take it all that seriously, although I was obviously very interested. So I sent my information into the recruiter, was contacted shortly thereafter, and you know, had my first interview with Bobby Evans and Dave Greshner, and the rest is history.
Yeah, great. Well, you must have interviewed well, because it's a great job you have. Again, not getting into specific cases, but knowing baseball the way it is, it's a game of failure, especially for a hitter. If he fails 7 out of 10 times, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. How do you approach failure for a major league player? What do you say about it?
Well, myself and Bob Tewksbury and Jim Affermo have had many, many conversations about this. And, you know, one of the things that is true about baseball as compared to some of the other professional sports is that it takes an average of 4 to 5 years from when a player is drafted to getting into the major leagues. And what that means is that players encounter a lot of adversity during the course of their careers. And, of course, we know that, you know, the majority of them who are drafted don't make it up to be a major league ball player. And so one of the things that we encounter frequently, particularly as we journey through the minor league ball clubs, is that players have to deal with increasing levels of competition during the course of their careers, and it's very easy during that time for players to take a hit to their confidence.
Yeah.
And to wonder and to start to doubt themselves. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we do with players, one of the things that I really try to do is to get to know who the player is, what their backgrounds are, what their experiences have been so far, you know, what are some of the ways that, that players can tell us, and they do talk to us about ways that they sort of get in their own way, get preoccupied with self-doubt and failure, and issues related to their confidence. And little by little by little, you're able to talk to players about how do they prepare? What is their mindset? How do they deal with failure? How frustrated do they get? How are they able to, you know, to really address adversity? And what I have noticed when we really take a look at guys who are, you know, really accomplished at the major league level, and I'm thinking about players like, you know, Posey and Crawford and, you know, Bumgarner and those guys, they really appear to have a very, very grounded level of confidence where, you know, whatever they're encountering, they know they're going to come back. Yeah. They know they're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't appear to take significant hits to their confidence, mm-hmm. even when they may have an 0 for 10 or a 1 for 15 or whatever. They just keep coming back, and they're the same player they were, mm-hmm. you know, today as they were yesterday. And, you know, they know that the skill is there. That's unusual.
Yeah, no, well, that becomes an accomplished major leaguer when you can do that. They always say with the minor leaguers, you know, let's see them experience failure before we bring them up to the big leagues, because you're going to have it in the big leagues no matter what. Now, what about different backgrounds? I mean, we have people from Venezuela, from the Dominican Republic, and how do you delve into those backgrounds, where they come from, because this is their whole life, is to make it here.
Well, I'm really glad you actually brought that up, Marty. This year we have a director of education and cultural development who works full time out of our Arizona facility, and I've actually been working quite closely with her around the development of our Latin players. One of the things that we've done this year, for the first time, and this is with our newly beginning with the players that we drafted in 2016, is there are a set of assessments that we're providing for the players that, you know, are newly drafted, and we're going to continue this. And we're finding particularly that it's helping us get a handle on the particular challenges that some of our Latin players have, who are obviously from different cultures, different educational backgrounds, not having the kind of resources that many of our American players have. And it's allowed us to do some interviews and to get to know some of our new Latin players in ways that we just haven't had the opportunity to before. And we really see this as a work in progress.
Yeah, I imagine that's a challenge, number one, the language barrier, and number two, the cultural barrier of again, a macho society of not wanting to explain feelings.
Absolutely, and having Laura on our team now has just been a great development. I think it's going to continue to be an important asset for her, because she can not only assist us with the translation when we're working with players, but also with some of the cultural issues that our Latin players face.
Well, it's not a perfect science, we know that, but it is something that's a work in progress, and that did not exist in baseball years ago. It didn't exist in the world years ago. And I always say, if you want to look at U.S. history and how America develops, you just look at the baseball field, because we reflect just about everything. So I think it applies to you.
Yeah. Well, this is a learning situation for me. I mean, talk about continuing education experience. I can't think of anything that would be more fun, more challenging, and really at this point in my career, more rewarding.
Last thought. I haven't talked about the manager, the coaches. there are people on that level. You know, the team is, who can say, 30 and 50. But you got your hands full dealing with a manager.
Well, that's another really good point. This year, for the first time, I was actually involved in creating a workshop for our coaches in the minor leagues to really help them with their level of skill development, leadership development, and communication, across our minor league, affiliates. And what was really great about it is that they were extremely responsive and appreciative, for those efforts. And so that's something that we're going to be continuing to do in future years.
All right. So a Giant fan gets to work for the Giants. How about that?
It's been a great experience, Marty. It really has.
All right. Michael Mumbray. Thanks, Michael, for taking the time. As I say, we learn something every time we talk to someone about these kinds of things. We learned a lot about what the Giants do and how they approach their players and what's going on in the world. So I appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Marty.
All right. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.